Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome, everyone. I'm so grateful for today. How many have had some ups and downs this last couple of weeks? Am I the only one? Okay. We want to talk today about the resurrection in and through Jesus Christ. And let's go ahead and put up. I have a little prayer. I like to do this sometimes and add a little prayer in the front because, as you'll see as we develop here, the resurrection is the kind of the key. If he would have died and gone into the grave and never resurrected, we would not have everything that we have. But because Jesus has risen, he's broken the power of death and sin. When we give place to sin, we're dead in our trespasses and sins, and we come locked up. We come locked up. But because of the resurrection, the Lord sets us free. I just want to praise the Lord today. Even though we celebrate that today, this is the reality of who we worship. We don't worship a God. Of all the ideologies, of all the religions, nobody has risen but Jesus. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Praise his name. Praise his name. Let's go ahead and pray this prayer together. You look at it. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins and to give me eternal life in you. Jesus, thank you for following through with the immense suffering it took to pour out your blood to redeem every person who places their trust in you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, who brings us to life in Christ from being dead in our sins. I praise you today, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for caring for me before I knew you. I thank you that I will be raised up into eternal life beyond this life here on earth to be with you forever. Amen. Let's go ahead and look at the picture. There's just a beautiful understanding that Jesus came out of a place of death into newness of life. I'm going to read the next slide, and it's a big one. You can follow along. This is Matthew 28, 1 through 10. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reality of Jesus whom we worship. Thank you for rising from the dead. Amen. Next slide. We see, out in Springfield, Missouri. And we got a busload of people, and we went to an outdoor play called Christ in the Ozarks. And you pay your money, get on a bus, weave all back through, and go get to this giant. And there's an outdoor amphitheater, and so they have all these seats over here. Beautiful evening, all outdoors, timed with the sun going down. Everything's perfectly timed. And then there's this kind of like a small going down, and then as it comes up, you have the whole city of where the upper room, it's like, it's all there, like where Jesus is going to be crucified. Everything's just out before you. It's a beautiful, beautiful set design there. And they have a recording with music and drama and the voices on the recording, because since the people are across the way, they're in a field, like they're in a field across from you. So many times somebody talks, they go like this. They use their hands. So you're seeing, you know who's talking because their hands are moving. And there was this moment, and I had read it in the Bible. It's this verse up here. I read it in the Bible, but they demonstrated it, because when Jesus rose from the dead, this verse says, in Matthew 27, 52, 53, the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Can you believe that? Could you imagine? Uncle Jedediah, didn't you die 15 years ago? Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. Could you imagine? Oh, my God. And when I saw that over the hill, I went, oh, they made that verse come to life. They had people coming out of the grave. They were walking around. I said, oh, my God. Oh, my. It was incredible to see and behold. Do you know, the next slide, the resurrection is no surprise. It was foretold in the Old Testament. Amos 3:7. Go ahead and read this with me. For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. That's this amazing thing. He actually tells you what's going to happen. Next slide. So Psalm 71, this is to David. It says, verse 20, you who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again from the depths of the earth. You will bring me up again. So there's a little hint there. Isaiah 26, 19, your dead shall live. There, just right in your face. Your dead shall live. Their bodies will rise. How about that? You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy, for your dew is the dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. How about this? Daniel, he gets right down into it. Daniel 12, 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some, he gets the whole end, just like Jesus preaching, some to the everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Next slide. Hosea 6, 1, 2 says, come, let us return to the Lord. For he has torn us and he will heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. And then I get real specific. Says, and after 2 days, when I make my slides, they all fit. But when they come over here, they don't always fit. So I'll reach the end of that day. after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that they may live before him, that we may live before him. Hosea 13, 14, I shall ransom them from the power of Sheol, which means hell. I shall redeem them from death. So there's another picture. And then lastly, the one that you can't see, this is Jesus in Matthew, quoting Matthew 12, 40. He says, just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Let's go to the next slide. See if it's all on there. Oh, man, just about. Okay. Now, one of the most extraordinary, incredibly prophetic pictures of the resurrection is given to Ezekiel. God speaks to Ezekiel, and he takes him to this valley of dry bones. Has there anybody been going to the theater and watching The Chosen this last, you see, part 3? So when Jesus is at Gethsemane, they show this. And so it's just a scene. And so they go, Ezekiel's caught in the spirit. He goes and he sees a valley. It's all these dry bones. And he's asked the question, will these bones live? And he says, Lord, you know. And then he has him speak to them. And it says, as he prophesied, he said, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And it looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and the flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. And then he said, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, to say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath. Breathe on these slain, that they may live again. So he prophesied, and they commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. And here we see, I just think it's a glorious picture of the Lord raising up his church in the earth, because we were all dead. And I don't know about you, but I've received the breath. I'm alive in my spirit. There's two other examples in the Old Testament of raising the dead, and that's Elijah did it, and Elisha did it. I won't get into that. But there's, so we see in the Old Testament the very declaration of the rising from the dead and the theology of it. Now I want to ask, when did you or how did you encounter the living Christ? This verse I want to break down just a tad. This is Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life. Everybody say, give life. Give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now, you look up this word. A lot of times I'll use that blue letter Bible thing and I just put the verse in there. It kicks up the definition. Here's the definition: to raise. It means to arouse from the sleep of death, to recall the dead to life, to cause to appear before the public. So here's Jesus is raised. And what now, because of that, the Holy Spirit gives us life. What's that mean? It means to cause to live, to make alive, to give life. How? By spiritual power to arouse and invigorate, to restore to life, endued with new and greater powers of life. And I know that, see, I've received that. I know what that is. Now, I want to ask you, if you'd take a moment, and those of you who can, just take a moment with me, and think about or recall to your mind when the Lord caused you to come alive in Him. Go back to that moment. Would you do that? Bring up that memory before you in your mind. When the Lord revealed Himself to you, or you saw who He was, and I probably could bring up testimony after testimony in this room of people who they had a moment where they opened their heart to Jesus. There's a moment that happens. Next slide. If you think about it long enough, and if you did not grow up in a household of followers of Jesus, you realize that the Lord was patient with you and spent time drawing you to Himself. He placed His people around you. He stirred up His people to pray for you to come to know Jesus. He caused moments in your life where you would contemplate who He is and what He has done. The Holy Spirit spoke to you in your place of need. How many of you relate to this? Heather, what happened in her life, she was very, very lonely. And she was in a hotel restaurant with the pilot of the airplane. Mr. Gronzik and his wife was there. And they were sitting there. And Heather had a struggle with a relationship. And there was a breakup. And she was extremely lonely. And God was wooing her heart. And there was this moment, I like to say, He wooed you until the moment He wowed you. Because He brings you to the point that the same Spirit that Jesus raised from the dead now brings you to life in Christ. And He came right into her heart, and He said that He had heard His voice. She had heard the Lord's voice once before, but did not know. She knew it was Him somehow. She said, life is really messed up, you know. You know, there's a lot of heartache and pain in the world, and He said something to her along the effect of, I didn't plan it that way. In other words, He had planned it for our hearts to be His, and that this time, as He was drawing her to Himself, He said, I think it was Marianne Gronzik said the words, if you have Jesus in your life, because they were discerning, where her heart was. I said, if you have Jesus, you won't be lonely. And that spoke so deeply to her. How many of you can go back to the moment when Jesus revealed His heart to you and think about, because when, if you think about it, like I mentioned, there are people, when God is drawing you to himself, he takes time to place people around you to talk about it. When he is drawing you, people show up. When he's drawing you to himself, the people who are walking with the Lord suddenly begin to have burdens to pray for you. They may not say anything. They just start praying for you. One of the greatest travesties in the world is the brokenness of fathers who do not represent the heart of Father God at all. That happened to me. There were some aspects of my dad that were good, that did reflect, like a broken glass, you know, and there's this part does, but this part doesn't. And so one of the things that happens in our growing up and our wounding in life is that we end up having a blind spot to seeing how good Father God is. And so Jesus comes and he lives a life to display the heart of his Father. Jesus comes that we could see who the Father really is. And he comes to lay down his life for us so that we can be adopted and brought into a family. And we've talked about this many times in here, but it's been amazing, so amazing, that most of the difficult issues of our lives are how we are askewed and can't really see Father God for who he is. Isn't that amazing? We really don't see. We see him as a judge. How many of you see him as a judge? Or see him as someone who's just neglectful? Or someone you just don't want to hang out with? Or someone that cussed you or chased you down or did something weird? Or someone who was unfaithful? There's so many examples, bad examples of fatherhood that cause a blind spot. And when we look up at him, we shove all of that other garbage from the way we were treated, and that is how we look up at him. And he is not any of that at all, ever. In fact, he was the one who designed you to be loved to the deepest place of your life, where you would know that you belong, that you matter, that you are cherished, that you are so important to him and highly valued by him, that he cares so deeply for you that he decided that, hey, I'm going to do a swap. I'm going to take the cherished one, my one and only son, and we're going to strike a deal, and he's going to come down and live a perfect life that you can't live. And he's going to do it for you. And then he's going to take on everything of all the wrongs that have ever happened to you and put them on him. And everything that has destroyed your life, all the sins, the fragility, everything of brokenness, all the disappointments, all of that stuff is all put on him. Every grief, every loss, every sorrow, all put on Jesus. And Jesus carries all of it. I don't know if you've seen this. There's a little video. And they actually show the crown of thorns. And we always thought it was a little crown like this, like a wreath. It's not. The Roman crown of thorns actually it's a crown. And that there's three inch thorns on it. And they're so sharp. It's phenomenal how sharp they are. They pierce. And there's literally a crown. It looks like a big crown, like a crown that you put it on the head. It pierces the head 50 times. There's only 50 times. Can you imagine that? To push that down. They made one of those crowns and pushed it down. Do you know how they can actually know that 50 times went into Jesus' head? The Shroud of Turin. The Shroud of Turin has actually 50 places where the blood, you know, when the blood went into the garment, the grave cloth. We have no idea the suffering, the mental harassment, deep pain. I guess the big message that I've grown to learn about Jesus is this, that there's no pain in my life he can't relate to and heal. There's no devastating loss that he can't go to the depths of it and wring me out of it. There is nothing. That's what he is, because he's resurrected from all the wreckage of our life. He came out. And then he imparts that life. I'm going to give you my life. And I'm going to take all of the pain of your life, and we're going to swap. And it's like it takes time and years to unravel the depth of his marvelous love for us. It's an incredible journey. And I want to spend the rest of my days helping people catch and understand how cherished and valuable they are, because Daddy God has already planned them to love them, cherishes them, cares about them. I had an extraordinary miracle happen recently on the phone with a person about 2 months now. There was a fella that has been a pastor, and he was at a conference, and sometimes I'm at places and people ask me questions, and I say stuff, and then I go on about my life, and I have no idea what they did with it. But this guy, apparently, it was valuable. Whatever happened between us was valuable, and it was life-changing to him. And then he laid hold of the songs that I write. So, like, even waking up in the morning, his alarm clock is, ready for this? God is my Redeemer. His alarm clock is, God is my Redeemer. Well, he goes through devastating loss after devastating loss because he's bipolar. He had some devastating things happen as a child. Devastating. Horrific. I can't even explain. If what would happen to me happened to him, I would have probably been bipolar. That's how horrific, how devastating and traumatizing what happened to him was. So he is diagnosed when he's 16. He's been on, for 36 years, he's been on bipolar meds. Takes 4 pills. He says, I have these cycling things where you go manic and then in 3 days you go depressed. And he says, I don't want I have to take this medicine so that something comes out of the bad guy comes out of the basement. The horrific, you know, I've got to, he says, I've never had a dream in 36 years. I've never been able to dream. The has to take the medicine and just shuts him down. He's got to manage this, 36 years of this. Well, he gets a hold of me. We're on the phone. I have about an hour and a half, a little time there, it was the second phone call, and I'm sitting there. And I get really excited about Jesus healing people's broken hearts. I really do. My faith for Jesus stepping into somebody's life and doing a deep work is way off the charts. And so I usually invite him into places where people have been just broken, severely broken. And then I just listen to what's he doing. And Jesus is doing this stuff. And he'll sometimes tell me, you know, like the person will tell me what's happening, or the Holy Spirit will give me an awareness of like stuff that's leaving, like a bitterness is leaving or different things like that. So there's a partnership with the Lord in this. So I'm praying with this guy. We go back to a childhood scene. He's 9 years old. I just would weep. It's hard to talk about what happened to him. It's just so bad. But Jesus showed up in there. He starts healing him. He texts me after that time of prayer and says, hey, I want to tell you something else that happened. Not only did he heal what happened with that, but I don't hate my father anymore. There was another thing. And then he calls me up a couple of days later and says, I'm going to tell you something in a month. I said, okay. He calls me back 2 days later. He goes, I'm not going to wait to tell you. God healed my bipolar. I don't take the meds anymore. He says, I have every book on bipolar in the history ever written. There's no place where anybody's ever healed from this. Jesus healed me. He said, I don't take the meds. I'm in shock. I'm in shock. Not shock, shock, but, you know, I'm stunned. I'm like, wow, really? Resurrection power. You know, Heather and I said, I took the phone down and said, honey, listen to this. He gave the testimony. He said, we used to pray for years. Lord, you've given us a wonderful anointing in Christ Jesus to bring healing to broken hearts, to cast out things that are tormenting, and that we always wondered, when, Lord, there's got to be some other help for the chemistry in the brain, you know, where the chemistry's wrong, and Jesus, can you touch, heal what's wrong with the chemistry? Because that's not a demonic thing, that's not a heartbreak, that's a physiological something, and he did it. And now I'm saying to the Lord, are you anticipating me to believe you for this? Because there's so much need in the earth. There's so many people who need the resurrection power of Jesus to do something that they can't do and they've struggled with all their life. Everybody say hallelujah. Jesus heals the brain. That crown of thorns that went on Jesus' head has a redemptive power to go and touch the circuitry of somebody's mind and bring them into wholeness. Whew. Resurrection power from Jesus Christ, touching, healing. This is the work of the kingdom. The work of the kingdom, back up, excuse me, I'm going to jump in this, back up one slide. Back up to the other one, sorry. Then we'll go up there. This part here, he places his people around you. He stirs up people to pray for you. People become burdened with you. Then go now, those two slides. This is the work of the kingdom of God. Let me just go ahead and ask you, if you would, to thank the Lord for his enduring patience with you. Can we go ahead and just thank the Lord for that? So patient he is with us. So patient he is with us. So long-suffering. In our struggles, we don't have a clue most of the time why we even do the things we do. But he's long-suffering. He's tender-hearted. He cares. He deeply values us way more than we ever thought about ourselves. This being the work of the kingdom, I felt just impressed to say this. Do not ever write anyone off as a complete loss. Does that make sense to you? If you get a political spirit in you, you will. If you have the kingdom of God in you, you won't. You realize everybody is believing something that they think is right. How many of you lied about something and then started believing your own lies to cover up your lies, deceptions? So here's what he wants us to do. Hold out for the redemption of Jesus in their lives. And partner with the Lord no matter what you see presently. What you presently see, don't go by that. Paul, who was Saul, Jesus saw who he really was. Hey, aren't you glad Jesus saw who you really are? He saw the redemptive thing in you that he could use to, if he loved you, he could pour love out of you in the unique way that you could express it. Isn't that wonderful? Now, let's go ahead to 1 Corinthians. This is why it's the work of the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 8. I planted, this is Paul, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, And each will receive his wages according to his labor. I'll tell you one other story. I got on an airplane to go back to Los Angeles to lead the worship at a retreat. And I came to my row to sit down, and there was this blonde-headed lady and a guy who looked like a businessman, and there was my seat on the aisle. And I sat down on the seat, and the moment I sat down on the seat, it was the weirdest little moment there, because the moment my rear end hit the seat, the word, the Holy Spirit, I don't know why I used that timing, but he used the timing of the word broken. He said, broken. Like I sat on a whoopee cushion and went, broken. You know, that's how it felt. But it was pointing at the lady next to me. He said, broken. Broken. So I went, well, that's wild. And she's busy. She's doing her stuff. She's like very, about a half an hour later into the flight, she puts her stuff down and she wants to talk. So she says, hey, so-and-so. She introduces herself and says, we get into a little discussion, and I mentioned where I was going and what I was doing, and that she discovered that I was a pastor. And she's going to the, you know, she lives in the San Fernando Valley out where I was headed in the Los Angeles area. So she likes her pastor. So it was like feeling my way into this moment. Finally, when I got enough rapport, I said, well, the moment I sat down here, the Holy Spirit spoke to me concerning you. And he said, broken. And I said, what's up with that? And she spilled out that she was flying back from Richmond, Virginia, where her mother had raised her, and her mother was, she was having to do things to help her mother transition to like a home and all this stuff. And she said, when I grew up, my mother would slap me, silly, just slap me crazy. And then when it was time to go to bed, she would put me in her bed at night and like use me as a little doll to cuddle with to go to bed. Not pervertedly, but just to be in the bed. And it really, she says, it really messed me up. There was never any apology for the slapping. It was just a pattern. This has almost drove me nuts. Now, here's what I want to tell you. Jesus wanted to do something in this precious lady's heart who's going and ministering to her mother even though she's been mistreated all these years. And Jesus knows I'm kooky enough that if he tells me something, I will respond. And I just got to get to know him a little bit and say stuff like, what's up with that? And she begins to pour out her heart. And then we have a little time of prayer. And it was amazing because, you know, remember some of the older people remember Get Smart when that bubble would come down and they would talk and they couldn't really hear. The dome of silence or something, whatever, cone of silence, whatever. Well, anyway, the Holy Spirit put this place, this beautiful covering over us, and they were going up and down with drinks or whatever in the aisle. And I'm sitting here, I'm leading her in prayers, and she's literally processing through and getting rid of a lot of stuff. She's just forgiving, and she's going through all on the plane. And the businessman, he's just staring out the window. He has nothing to, he's like, God says, here, let me take your head. He's gone. He's not a part. Nobody's a part of us. Just this holy, holy place inside. We're doing this. And we finished now. The plane's about to start landing, and we're not quite done. And I said, hey, do you sing? She says, well, I've taken voice lessons. So you like to sing? She says, yeah. I said, how would you like to be on my worship team at a retreat? She came the next morning to the cleansing tree retreat It was on my worship team, and for every category, every time we prayed, she went down and received ministry from all of that brokenness and abuse. And she had to leave around noon, but she came and it was a part of the retreat. Can you believe that? I said, what else can I do to help this lady? And the Holy Spirit says, have her sing on your worship team. Can you just praise the Lord with me just for a minute? Just how far Jesus is willing to go in your life and my life to make sure that he opens doors to get you to where you need to go to heal your mind, to heal your heart, to break the powers of the things that would bind you up, to heal you and to cause. And it all starts with a simple, can you come into my life, Lord Jesus? I need some help. And it's massive help, what I've discovered. Go ahead, the next. Except for God's long-suffering mercy and grace, we are all doomed to be eternally separated from God. I have one last passage here, and this is going to happen for everybody. It's Revelation 20, 11 through 16. Next one. This is in your Bible. It's the third to the last chapter in the Bible. Start with verse 11. Revelation 20, then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. And from his presence, the earth and the sky fled away. And no place was found for them. Can you wrap your head around that? That Jesus shows up, and there's no place for the earth or the sky. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. And then death and Hades was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Everybody, would you say second death? See, there's a first death, and that's your physical death. But if you receive Jesus, you're spiritually alive. So you have your first death, but you don't have a second death. And what is the second death? Lake of fire. The second death, and it says, anyone's name that was not written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, some of you know this. Not everybody does. But when I came to know Jesus, that's what he talked to me about. That was my experience. I was in a college cafeteria. They had a makeshift altar. They had a little altar. They had a piano. There was a bunch of people that went to hear this particular Bible teacher during the summer. They were doing evangelistic campaigns. There was this hefty girl that her mascara was running down her face. And I'm not kidding. She looked like a raccoon. And she was from the South, and she was saying, she was real sincere, but it was just comical to me, because, and I don't know the Lord, I just over here observing, and she goes, Lord, I tried smoking, Lord, I tried drinking, you know, she was, and that's what I remember, and I had this holy thought come into my head, and this holy thought was, Jesus must be Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. And my little 17-year-old self goes, yeah, like I had the thought, like it was my thought, you know. I'm standing next to this pole, and I'm looking at this, Lord, I tried smoking. I have this thought, either he's Lord of all or not Lord of all. And then I have a vision, and I have this vision of this lake with flames in it. It would be like from me to where you are, Casey, and I saw a lake out in front of me, flames, lake of fire. I never read about the lake of fire. I didn't know it was there. The Lord was pointing me to the second death, that life without him forever. He was showing me the lake of fire. He was giving me the picture of that. He said, I see the lake, and then the lake disappears, and this cloud comes over the top of me, and I'm feeling these feelings of love like I've never felt before. And it's this cloud of him, and I'm feeling loved. Oh, I feel loved. And then the cloud lifts off. And typical, you know, in the Bible, they do these visions, and you get see it one time, and then you see it another time. They do the three times. God, he'll give you a vision three times. And so the cloud lifts off, and then there's the lake. I see the lake again. And now I'm beginning to realize I'm going to go there. I'm going to actually go to the lake of fire. And then the lake disappears, and the cloud comes back. And the cloud's above me, and it's like this feelings of love coming down on me. I was like, oh, my God, I'm getting it now. I'm getting it. I got an option. And then that leaves, you know. And then there's the lake one more time, the third time. The lake is out there, and I'm going, I'm going to go to the lake. I'm getting it. It took three times to get through, but I got it. I realized I'm going to the lake. I'm going to go to the lake of fire. My eternity is a lake of fire. This is not good. And then the lake disappears, and the love comes back over me. And then I hear a voice, and he says these words, I don't have to ask you again. And I didn't even say yes. Down inside of my heart, I went like this. I basically was saying, I want the love. And suddenly, something opened up on the inside of me, and all that love that was above me just went down inside of me. Whew. And I grabbed the pole, and I slid down to the floor and began weeping, weeping, and weeping, weeping. I didn't know spiritual words. I didn't know hallelujah. I could have said hallelujah, but I said hot dog. And I got up, and people say, you look different. And I said, I feel different. I had no Christian language. I didn't know what to say. But I knew that I wasn't going to go to the lake. I wasn't going to go to the lake. I was going to be loved. And that started the journey. That started the journey where God says, we're going to love you the rest of your life, and you're going to get to know me, and I'm going to care about you. Do you want to know the one who loves you the most? Would you like to know the one who loves you the most? Let's everybody close your eyes for just a second. If you want to know him, nobody's looking around. Just raise your hand and say, I want to know the one who loves me the most. I want him. Go ahead and raise your hand. Lift your head. Look at me. Say, I want him. I want him. I want the one who loves me the most. If you've never done that before, if you have, praise the Lord. If you have, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you won't even show up at that passage of Scripture where the judgment's happening. You'll show up at another judgment. It's called the judgment seat of Christ, where Jesus, well, the things done in the flesh will be judged. How you lived this life before him because you received him. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus right now that every heart in here would begin to open to you in more of a fullness to your love more than ever before. I pray against every demonic strategy that has held them or lied to them or caused them to not fully give everything to you. I come against every work of darkness that would be a hindrance to the full plan of love and destiny that you have for each person here. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let's go ahead and put the next slide up and we're done. Jesus, in John 11, 25, 26, Jesus was talking to Martha. And this is where he says it in the Bible. Let's go ahead and stand together. This is where he says it in the Bible. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? All who believe say, yes, I do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord together for a moment. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's just praise you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I praise your Holy Spirit. Come hovering over these days where there's been things that push back, where the pushback of the world, the pushback of thought processes that want to hinder the fullness of your love and your gift of grace to us. I pray that be overthrown. I pray for your people to rise up like an exceeding great army, full of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, full of the purpose and destiny and power of God. I pray, Father, for love to overtake each person here in the name of Jesus. Now let's worship just for a moment. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Invite him. He comes and knocks at the door. Just invite him in. So, Lord, we love you. Come and pour your life, pour your love. You're not left to make all the decisions by yourself. The Lord has the answers for you. He's very practical. He knows how to deal with what you're facing. He will help you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise, Lord. Amen. Amen. Love on each other, and he's risen indeed.